Good morning, everybody. I apologize. Today's scripture reading comes from Hosea 44, verse 6 and verse 21 and 22. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Remember these things, Jacob, for you, Israel, are my servant. I have made you. You are my servant. Israel, I will not forget you. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Well, good morning, friends. It's great to be together this morning. I'd like to begin with the story that I heard about a man who was traveling down the street in his town, true story. And as he traveled along the street in his town, he was going past a pawn shop and just happened to peek in the kind of dingy windows, and there he could not believe what he saw. You know, there's usually piles of stuff, dusty old watches and stuff, but he saw this beautiful acoustic guitar, and it was his. See, the guitar had been stolen from him several years prior, and he had looked and searched for it to no avail, and he had really kind of lost hope until here it is. And so you can imagine what he did. He pulled out his wallet, and he went inside the pawn shop, and he bought back what was already his. Pretty great story. You rejoice with that guy and that chance finding of his lost possession. And it's also a picture for us today. We're going to be studying in Hosea chapter 3 of redemption, because that's what redemption is. It's buying back what already belongs to you, even if it is at great personal cost. Buying back what already belongs to you. So Hosea and Gomer's love story, as we've been following it over these couple of weeks, boy, it's sort of hard to watch at times. It's sort of cringy. His wife, Gomer, has left him. She's chasing after other lovers, but God tells him, go after her. Buy her back. Love her again. And so what we have is this beautiful picture, of course, of God's redeeming love toward us. And that's just what we're going to talk about together today. So my name is John. I serve as lead pastor in this wonderful church, and I'm thrilled that you're with us today. I'm praying that as you study God's word, he draws you even closer to his heart. We're in a sermon series on this Old Testament prophet of Hosea. The Lord called him, this is kind of what he's known for, right? And we've heard this now several times over the last weeks, to marry an unfaithful woman. And she has a bad name too, by the way, Gomer. And it was to illustrate the heartbreak of a God who is faithful to a people who are not. This prophet was to live out. Yes, he preached. He had sermons. But he was a living sermon in living out this heartbreak, because it demonstrated very much God's love toward people. Because even when we fail, even when we turn away, God's love doesn't fail. Even when we run, his love doesn't. Have you ever seen parents who utilize the harness on their child? Some people call it a leash, but it's a mechanism whereby the parent can have the child and know that the child will be safe. No, Johnny, you're not going to climb in the gorilla enclosure at the zoo. No, you're not going to run into traffic. No, you're not going to run away from me. In fact, my mom tells a story from many, many years ago. This would have been in the early 80s. And my dad was a runner and decided to participate in the newly formed Columbus Marathon. And mom took all of us kids, there were six of us, took all six of us to cheer on dad in the marathon. So she tells the story where she's not utilizing just one of those harnesses. She's got like two or three of them. She's got one kid strapped to her, maybe one on the back, one on the front. She's got multiple leashes, because there are tens of thousands of people there. Even in its early years, it was quite an attraction. It's grown to be an even bigger event now. There were about 5,000 runners, so tens of thousands of people spectating. And there are the Reisners to cheer on old dad. And she's got kids on leashes. Because she's like, I'm not losing you in downtown Columbus amidst, you know, hordes of people. She did say she got some nasty comments from some of the people saying, explained to her that those were children and not dogs. Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought I had brought my dog. Thank you for your help. You get to decide how I keep my children safe. She didn't use those very often, but she tells the story about going to the marathon, and yes, she brought us all home. She even brought Dad home. This is kind of what the Lord has done to Israel in the covenant relationship he has with them, is he has them sort of bound to himself as a child in one of these harnesses. Yeah, you can try to run. Yeah, you can go off and do your thing. Yeah, in your heart, you can be lured in by those temptations, but I will pull you back to myself. I will keep that firm grip on you. Even when you do wrong, the Lord says, I'm not going to break this bond and this covenant I have with you. Because in the motif, in the terminology of the book of Hosea, Israel has cheated on God. As a husband and wife are to be faithful to one another, so they were in covenant relationship with Almighty God. They had cheated on God. But even despite their disgusting pagan idol worship, the Lord is faithful to them. See, for some reason, they thought they could infuse pagan worship in with worship of Yahweh. It wasn't that they said, we don't want to serve Yahweh anymore. We're done with him. We want other things. It was they said, well, we could just have all of it, can't we? I think we can maybe identify with that in our lives, in our nation, in our culture, in our world. Where they said, certainly we can just infuse some of the world's practices and the world's ideologies and the world's way of doing things in with this pure, holy worship of Almighty God. But the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:15, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? So we are part of a kingdom that is set apart and different. Redeemed. We'll talk a lot about that today. So even though Gomer had cheated on Hosea, the Lord says, hey, Hosea, keep the wedding ring on. This isn't over. Even though you feel like, and we saw that in chapter 2, you feel like she's no longer your wife. She has done so wrong. He says, keep the wedding ring on. In fact, we're going to bring some restoration. So let's open our Bibles together. We're going to read, it's actually a very short chapter in Hosea chapter 3, only 5 verses. So we'll spend the rest of the morning studying each of those verses. Hosea chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. And it's interesting because the voice in Hosea shifts now, and it's first person from Hosea himself. So he shares this as sort of a testimony. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods, and they love the sacred raisin cakes. So again, Gomer has run off with another man, but Hosea is to go after her. He is to love her. So she is guilty of adultery, which would have been punishable by death, according to the law of Moses. But she's not to be killed. In fact, Hosea is not even called to divorce her here, which he would have had biblical grounds to do. He is to give her mercy. He is to redeem her, not because she deserves it. See, it says a whole lot more, even just in human terms, about Hosea as a husband, doesn't it, than Gomer as a wife. And so the story is really the story of God and his boundless love for people. He is to love her, and it says very clearly there, just like the Lord loves the Israelites, even though they've turned to other gods. And then this part about the raisin cakes, it sort of cracks me up. Like, I think we have proof right here, guys. Even God hates fruitcake. Like, I'm telling you, I don't know what these things tasted like, but they must have been, like, really good. I know one of the soups or chilies that's going to be in the competition today is called crack chicken, I believe, or crack, yeah, crack chicken soup. And the reason is because it's, like, as addicting as crack. Some of you now don't want to try that one. Some of you do. The raisin cakes here, I'm like, how good must they have been for people to be like, okay, the one true God, yeah, I think I'm going to go for the fruitcake. I think I'm going to go for the raisin cake. I mean, what kind of weird thing is going on here? Where, I mean, are they addicted to these things? Hey, man, you got any more of that raisin cake? Like, I don't know exactly what's happening here. And personally, I will say, I have been telling everyone I can about the benefits of dried grapes. It's really just raisin awareness. The raisin cake thing, as far as I have studied and researched, I mean, no, it's not just about fruitcakes are bad and evil. Apparently, they were being used in pagan worship, right? I mean, it's that simple. In fact, there is another verse, and you can put this down maybe for homework to study later, but it's in Jeremiah 7 and verse 18. Speaks about the wrong use of the raisin cakes. The point is just simply, God says his people are only to worship him. They're not to worship with the sacred raisin cakes or any of these other weird things. But what good news that God's love pursues us even when we've walked away. God's love pursues. Because Hosea has every reason to move on, to just give up and say, okay, well, we gave it a go, but it didn't work. Gomer left him, humiliated him, left him alone and broken. But the Lord says, this is amazing, Hosea 3, verse 1, we just read it together. He says, go get her. He doesn't say, go yell at her. He doesn't say, go and give her a piece of your mind. Go and tell her exactly how wrong she is and how righteous you are. Tell her how hurtful this has been. He says, go and show your love to her again. He says, she is your wife. Don't forget that. She is your wife. Don't let her go. Don't give up on her. And again, it's amazing as a love story, but it's even more amazing when you realize this illustrates God's boundless love for people. We run after other things. Everyone in this room has a testimony of, yeah, I tried that. Yep, I went there. Yep, my heart was lured in by things that were not of God and things that were not God. We all have that testimony. We run after other idols. We are unfaithful. We choose the darkness at times, and yet he doesn't give up on us. His heart still longs for us. So when we wander from God, what good news? He pursues us. He doesn't just sit there with arms folded, cross and angry. He comes after us. We have a beautiful story in the New Testament about it. Jesus tells this in Luke chapter 15 about the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one. The one sheep that has been so foolish, that has put itself in peril, that's utterly lost, and the shepherd goes after it. That is the heart of God. It's just like we talked about last week, by the way, if you weren't here, that he just loves us too much to leave us where we are. So let's keep reading. We're in Hosea chapter 3. What happens next here? Verse 2, again, Hosea is speaking here, and he says to us, so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver, and about a homer and a lethic of barley. So let's unpack that just a little bit. He buys her. A gomer for a homer. Actually, a homer and a half. The lethic is a half of a homer. And a homer is roughly 10 bushels. So 15 bushels of barley. The approximate value for 15 bushels of barley at that time would have been about 15 shekels. Those were the silver pieces of coin. And then he pays 15 shekels. So he's got 15 shekels of coin, plus he's got about 15 shekels worth of barley, a homer and a half of barley. So in total, that's 30 shekels, 30 pieces of silver. And that was the going rate for a slave in the ancient Near East. We don't know exactly what Gomer had gotten into here, but I think we can deduce, we can understand that she had gotten entangled with the wrong people. She was not where she was supposed to be. And we're told there in verse 1 that she's with this new lover of hers. And I would say it appears to me her new lover is willing to farm her out if the price is right. Her new lover is, I don't think this was any sort of special deal for Hosea. I think this was 30 pieces of silver, sure. Take her, she's yours. So even though, and this is just a crazy story here, he is her husband. They are legally married. He buys her. He pays for her. He has to pay for time spent with his own wife, for companionship, for her to be in their home. So their relationship has suffered a great deal. Like they have a broken marriage, as you can imagine, with this sort of infidelity. They are separated, but this is the first step toward reconciliation. He is to redeem her again, just as God's love pays the price to redeem us. And if that sum that he paid strikes some sort of memory for you, like 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver, 30 pieces of silver. Well, remember when Judas betrayed Jesus in the New Testament? How much did he get paid? Somebody. You got it. 30 pieces of silver. Like this story just has Jesus written all over it. This story points us to Jesus. People separated from God because of their wrongdoing. God paying the price to restore them back to himself. And now the hope of a healed and whole and restored relationship. Forgiven. Treasured. Loved. Valued. For the Lord, it cost him his one and only son, Jesus. Costly. Costly grace. Because Jesus came to earth, and we'll celebrate this here coming up this winter as we get into the Christmas season. That in God's sovereign plan, he sent his one and only son, born as a baby. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never did wrong. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly went to the cross, laying down his own life, and by the power of God on the third day was raised to life. He lives forevermore, and now we await his second coming, that he is coming back for us one day, and we too will be victorious and triumphant, even here and now as we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, because we are marred by the effects of sin, but he promises us an abundant life. He bought us. I mean, this is the terminology the Bible uses. And again, the story of Hosea in chapter 3 in particular, just you see Jesus all over it. He bought us with his shed blood, and now we belong to him. And so anyone and everyone who turns to him in faith are forgiven of their sins and welcomed into God's forever family, into his household, just as Gomer is brought back into the household of Hosea. Why? Because love redeems. Love doesn't look at what's deserved or what's been earned. It looks at the need that is there, and in its redemptive power says, that's mine. That's how the Lord looks at you. And really, this redemptive love of God says, I'm going to pay whatever it takes to bring you home. So redemption is not cheap grace. It's actually quite costly grace. And God is the one who paid the price. And when you understand that, friends, and again, most of us, many of us have that story and that testimony. When you understand that and when you meet Jesus, life is just never the same. Your entire life has changed. Your priorities are radically different. He is now in control rather than you. And maybe somebody needs to hear this today, but you are not a very good director of your own life. If you've got it figured out and you know what's best, it's going to lead down a path of destruction. It's only surrendered to Christ and following where he leads that sometimes doesn't even make sense to us. That we have that abundant life, that beautiful life. In fact, I know a dear person who often refers in their own life to, they'll say, well, that was BC. That was before I met Christ. My life was different then. Everything is changed now. And we see this beautiful truth as we study this passage in Hosea chapter 3, that God's love propels us into a new way of living. His love pursues us even when we wander. His love pays the price for our redemption, and his love propels us into a new way of living. So after Homer redeems, Hosea redeems Gomer. I got that Homer for a Gomer, Gomer for a Homer thing on my mind. He tells her, hey, Gomer, things are different now. It's not going to be the same as it was before. Things are going to change. Like, you're not going to run off with other men. You're going to stay with me. And even there, the two of them in that marriage relationship are going to be chased for a period of time. So let's keep reading. We're in Hosea chapter 3, verse 3. And then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man. And I will behave the same way toward you. Things are going to be different around here from now on. Hosea says this isn't going to continue. It's not going to go down that way anymore. We need to heal our marriage. We need to restore our relationship. We need to rebuild some trust. And for Gomer, I just think about, I don't want to completely villainize her as we study this passage. She needs to know that she's not just an object. Because I'll tell you guys, in that culture, women and yes, even wives were really just seen as property. And they were they could be rather expendable. And so it would have been really easy, it would have been really justified, it would have been really understandable. And Gomer's probably even doing this self-talk that says, Hosea doesn't want me. There's no way he's going to pay for me. There's no way he's going to forgive me. And no one else is going to really want me either, unless maybe the price is right. So I read this verse, and I'm like, I think Gomer needed to know. You're not just a slave. You're not just an object. Yeah, you were sold for 30 pieces of silver, the going rate for a slave. But you're his wife. And he's not just buying her to own her. He's buying her to heal her. And so I think that Hosea is saying, hey, we're going to start again. We're going to start fresh. We're husband and wife. We have 3 children in our family, but we're going to have a season here where we're not intimate with one another. Now, maybe there was a safety measure there, too, for Hosea. I don't know. But it's restoration. And that's what redemption always leads to. Restored relationship. That's what God's plan for redemption leads to when we respond in faith. Restored relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. So let's get into the next verses here, verses 4 and 5. So it's the last part of this chapter. And we're going to see there that it speaks about the impending exile. So again, in context, the Lord has already said, even in this particular minor prophet, I'm going to bring the hurt. He's going to get more into that in coming chapters, but like, you have messed up, and there will be consequences. So let's look there, Hosea chapter 3, the final verses 4 and 5. He says, for the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. So sin still has consequences. There's still going to be an invasion from the north, from the kingdom of Assyria, to decimate the people of Israel in the northern kingdom. Hosea is going to see that with his very own eyes. That's going to happen during his ministry. These are the last days of the northern kingdom. They're going to be conquered as a result of their idolatry. They're going to be taken into exile. But they're going to learn from it. And these verses speak to that sort of restoration and that change of heart. You're going to return one day, the Lord says. When everything has been stripped away, then they're going to seek the Lord. You know, a lot of people have experienced that too. It's when you're at rock bottom. It's when you've come to your senses and realize, oh, these things that I've been pursuing, even if it's my own way, my own agenda, they don't lead anywhere. It's a path of destruction. It's sometimes only when everything else has been stripped away that you learn, that you truly seek the Lord from that place of desperation. Now, it's interesting, it mentions seeking David as their king. David is long dead by this point. So he's not talking about the literal figure who was the, you know, historic king over Israel. They'll seek him. He's in the grave. But the Lord made a promise to David that his kingdom would endure forever. That's in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. And so what this means is they're not going to seek the literal David. They're going to seek a ruler, a leader, who will come from the house and line of David. The one whose kingdom is never going to come to an end. The scriptures prophesy about that. Other places in the Old Testament, the prophets of old talking about the coming one, the Redeemer, the Anointed One, the Messiah, which is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is really a prophecy about Jesus and how God's people, once everything has been stripped away, then will turn to him. So the one who came in flesh 2,000 years ago, the one who will return again one day, we have the opportunity to seek him. And so we live light, we live life through that lens, that we have this unique opportunity that Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus has ascended, and we're awaiting his return. And he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we can know God through Jesus, even though he's not physically present with us. And so the scriptures affirm then that if anyone is in Christ, and there's so much more we could say about that. In fact, maybe that's a good, if you're leading a Sunday school discussion this morning in one of our adult classes, maybe ask that question. What does it mean to be in Christ? That's not on the discussion guide. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Because that's what Jesus does. He propels us into an entirely new life. So before we close out this morning and send you on your merry way, I want to give a few action steps. So we've heard the teaching this morning about God's redeeming love. And I just want us to have some concrete action steps. How do we live this out? How do we walk this out? So starting with, since God's love pursues us, even when we've walked away, the action step is to come home to Christ. You don't have to keep moving away from God. He is pursuing you, so turn and come to him. When you realize you've wandered, let me just put it this way. When you realize you've wandered and you're ready to turn, don't walk, run. Run with reckless abandon to Christ. Yeah, you might look foolish. Yeah, it might mean saying no to some certain things, but he longs for you to come to himself. His arms are open wide. Come home to Christ. Like we read in our Bible reading this morning. Did you hear that from Isaiah 44? I want to look at that. Verse 22. This is such good news. The Lord says, I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Don't let your sins, don't let your past, don't let your mistakes keep you from doing an about-face and running headfirst into the arms of God. Return to Christ. Come home to him. Next, cling to Christ. So he's the one who paid for your freedom, as we have shared this morning. So stay close to him. Sit at his feet. Read his word. Gather with his people. Worship him every day, not just on Sundays. Please don't just worship on Sundays. Worship him every day. Walk with him, learn from him, and pursue him above all else. Be a person after Christ's own heart. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So cling to him. And then finally, action step number 3 is to continue in Christ. What I mean by that is, and honestly, this one probably hits home for the majority of us that are here this morning, where it's like, we have a personal relationship with the Lord. We've said yes to Jesus. We're people of faith who know him. We have a relationship with the Almighty God, the God of heaven and earth. So as we continue in him, then, here's the encouragement. Live with boldness. Live in freedom that he has given you. Leave behind that old life. Invite others even. Invite others to experience God's goodness, that same grace that you know. So keep walking with Christ. Not boring, same old, same old. Vibrant, alive, listening with eagerness for where he directs you to go, and walking in gratitude as he leads you in it. Let his redemption story flow through your story. So again, when Hosea bought Gomer and brought her home, he didn't say, just keep doing whatever you want, just keep living the way you are. He said, oh, you're going to live with me now. Things are going to be different now. That's the call of Christ, and I hope you hear that call this morning from Jesus, where he says, come and live with me now. Things are going to be different now. Walk with me. Learn from me. See, I've paid the price for you. I bought you. I own you. But not just so you can be a slave or a servant, so that we can be in relationship. And we can rebuild life together. So Hosea's story, it really isn't just one of heartbreak. It's a glimpse into the heart of God. A husband who pursues an unfaithful wife. A redeemer who pays the price for her. A boundless love that refuses to give up, no matter what the cost. And that's not just Hosea's story, that's our story. Because if you haven't figured it out by now, I want to say it very clearly. You are Gomer. You are Gomer. And as you recognize that and sit in that, your jaw begins to drop at just how amazing God's love is. That he could forgive a sinner like me. That he would shed the precious blood of our Lord Jesus to cover my offenses and my sin that are so vile before him. Return to me, the Lord says, for I have redeemed you. And I just love this, just imagining Hosea and Gomer walking home that day, maybe hand in hand. And she knows she messed up. No one needs to say it. Probably everyone in the town knew it. And they're staring, and they're maybe wondering, what is Hosea doing? Is he crazy? He's already been humiliated once. But now she is walking beside the one who redeemed her. Every step she takes, she's reminded, I'm free, I'm loved, I'm his. That's our walk with God. And yeah, we may still bear the scars of the past, but we walk with our Redeemer, free and forgiven and loved and filled with hope, because his love pursues us. His love has paid for our redemption. His love propels us into a new life. So go forth into that new life with boldness and all for the honor of his name. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how good it is to hear the truth of the gospel. Lord, I've heard it many times, as these saints have as well. Lord, I responded to you at an early age and have been held and loved and cared for by you for decades. And yet, Lord, you know my heart. And you know the times and you know the places. You know the darkness that is even within us. You know the spiritual battle that is waging right now, right here in this place. For a people who belong to you and yet are so often influenced by our spiritual enemy, our adversary. And so we pray against Satan, against his minions, in the mighty name of Jesus, covered by his shed blood, that we belong to Christ, that he has redeemed us. And so, Lord, would you set us free? This beautiful picture of Hosea buying Gomer, Lord, and we know that that's us and that you have purchased us and that we belong to you. And Lord, we long to walk hand in hand with you, known and loved, valued, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. So Lord, we pray that you would just take all of these wonderful truths that we've learned. We pray that we would store them up in our hearts and minds, and we pray that we would live them out as we go out on mission for you, because Lord, we long to see even more come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray all these things. Amen.